Somewhere
beyond the grave, there is a land that Jesus went to prepare by his own hand. And for the sake of grace, there is a resting place, and in a few more days, it will be mine. Some call
dark was the night, I was sailing alone, and the waves, they crashed so high. I was lost in my sorrow, with no hope for tomorrow, when I
glad they sung that. I'm going to preach along them lines tonight. Amen. Lord God, I'm glad he set my captive soul free. Amen. Have your Bibles tonight. I want you to turn back to 2 Timothy just for a minute. I'm just going to take a text out of there, and then I'll probably run everywhere else. That's just the way it is. But that's all right. Lord God, I'm glad I'm free tonight. The Bible said if the Son make you're free indeed.
Yeah.
So ain't that good? Lord God, you're out of bondage. I said this morning, in one place I found myself dead in sins and trespasses.
Yeah.
That's the way it was in Ephesians chapter 2. Then I read in Romans 6 where we was dead to sin. Amen. Ain't that good? Once I was dead in it, now I'm dead to it. There's no affiliation there anymore. You ought to go in there and read that, Romans chapter 6. That'll help you. But anyway, I want to go back over here. I read a little bit of this morning. And at least I read part of it, but I want to come down here and read just a little bit more. If I can find my place here. Yeah, I read this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. But tonight, I've been thinking about this all evening. You know, sometimes after you preach a little while, you go home and you finish. And you preach to yourself the rest of the evening. And that's the way I've done this evening. So anyway, I've been thinking about this scripture. Bible said in verse 9, Paul's talking about in verse 8, he said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And verse 9, he said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. And there's where I want to talk to you about is, but the word of God is not bound. Ain't that good? Thank God. The word of, and I want to say this, the word of God's never been bound. But I guess what I was thinking about, the word of God's traveled everywhere, hadn't it? And it's never been bound. I thought about the different places the word of God's been. I thought about over there in Genesis chapter 4, when Cain killed Abel. And Abel was up there, and I believe Abel was preaching that it's a blood sacrifice.
Amen.
Cain wouldn't receive it, and he killed him. Yes, but the Bible said, I believe it's about verse 13 or somewhere down through there, it said, the Lord said that he heard the blood of righteous Abel speaking out.
Yeah.
So you can take the word of God, and you can try to get rid of it, but his blood cried out. I read over in the book of Hebrews where it said, talking about the blood of Christ, yet speaketh better things than that of Abel. See, Abel's blood was crying out for justice. Christ's blood was crying out for mercy. Spoke better things. So you can't get rid of the word of God. I thought about another scripture over there in Genesis chapter 6. The Bible said that... let me just read it to you because I'll mess it up if I ain't real careful. He's giving a warning to Noah here. And he says something like this. He said, the end of all flesh, verse 13, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And he tells him, make thee an ark of gopher wood. And then I thought about it. He gave Noah a warning there. And then to coincide with that, we see Noah's actions of the warning. Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Thank God. I mean, God just spoke a few little words to him, said the earth is filled with violence, said I'm going to destroy it. But in all of that destruction, the word of God traveled through it, made it through it, through all the death, through everything else. I get to where I want to preach here in a few minutes, but I'm just trying to tell you, the word of God's not bound. Paul was bound. They tell me one of the worst prisons, or I've read some of the worst prisons that anybody was ever in was them Roman prisons. Most of the time in those Roman prisons, you was beaten, thrown in there. But in the Roman prisons, not only did that happen to you, but they would take you and they'd shackle you to a soldier. And you was bound by that soldier. They had somebody personal there with you. And I thought about this. I thought about as Paul was probably writing this and maybe shackled to somebody there to make sure that he didn't get out. I mean, I don't know that that's the case with Paul here or not, but can't you imagine it being that way? And Paul's writing these letters to Timothy and all that, and the Word of God's getting in that soldier's heart. See, the Word, I mean, Paul might be bound, but the Word of God's not bound. Now, really where I want to preach from is over here in Acts chapter 24. But I want to keep that in mind, that the Word of God is not bound, and it never can be bound. And we find that Paul's in a different prison over here. They've made accusations against Paul, and these accusations were false accusations. And if you'll read chapter 24, you'll find out that Paul proved to them they were false accusations. And he's been brought before Felix, and Felix has decided to wait. He's not just going to take the word of some folks. He's going to wait on those that made the accusations to come and testify unto them. And it said this in verse 1, and after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with certain order named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "See that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. We accept it always, and it in all places, most noble Felix." You notice he's sucking up to him here. he ain't never brought any accusation against Paul yet. He's just saying, "We've enjoyed quietness while you've been in charge. And, everything has went good and everything is quiet. But now he's bringing accusations against him." He said, "Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among the Jews throughout all the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also have gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also ascended, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered forasmuch as I know that thou hast been many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues, nor in the city. Neither can they prove these things whereof they accuse me." Paul said, "I was up there, just been 12 days, and they don't have anybody down here that can testify to the accusations that they've made against him. And saying that, you know, everything that's talking about up here, that he was a pestilent fella." And I guess he was a pestilent fella, just to be honest. I mean, the thing about it is, the Word of God is not bound. And when he was preaching the Word of God, it done something to them, and it brought conviction to them, and they didn't like that. And I'm going to show you that here in a minute, that the same thing happened to Felix here, and the same thing happens today when the gospel is preached. And I mean, it changes things. That's why, hey, let me say this. This is what I got to thinking, and it helped my heart this evening. They've tried to push him out of the schools. They've tried to push him out of the government. They've tried to, but I'll say this. They might arrest, and they may persecute, and they may martyr the preachers of the Word of God or anybody else that stands for the testimony of Jesus, but they'll never get rid of the gospel. I read over in the book of Revelations, I mean, when this thing is about wrapped up, he's going to send out a couple angels and they're going to preach the everlasting gospel. So you're not going to get rid of it. Thank God for that. I noticed something about the Apostle Paul. I mean, somebody that lets the Word of God in, the gospel in, I mean, you can beat them, you can stone them, but you can't drive it out of them. My God, when Jesus gets in somebody, you can't get him out. And the thing about it is, they don't want him out. They don't want it. Lord God, that's the blessed thing about being born again. Thank God you're born of God this time. And that's the only good thing about me. Why would I want to get rid of that? Oh, Lord. But here he is. He said, because that thou mayest understand that there were yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which were written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me, or else let these same here say if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call unto thee. Now, I want to talk to you about this just a little bit. The Bible said that Paul said, I'm bound, but the Word of God is not bound. And thank God for that. And I've been thinking about this, and I'll be real short tonight and be real quick about this. But you notice that they couldn't, nobody that was brought the accusations was able to convince Felix that Paul was guilty. And so they said, well, we're going to wait. We're going to wait on one more to show up. We're going to wait on this chief captain to show up, Lysias, and let him testify these matters. And I'm assuming probably he showed up, and it said in certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ, faith in Christ, and he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Now, there's where I want to talk to you about. I thought about this. This is an interesting message that Paul chose to preach at this time. Oh, Lord God. I like the Apostle Paul. He was wise in the Spirit of God. He looked at the situation and he began to preach to Felix and he began to preach of righteousness and of temperance and of the judgment to come. And what I want you to notice about this is shortly after his preaching, and I'll talk about his preaching a little bit in a minute, the Bible said that Felix trembled.
Amen.
Boy, isn't that something? I'm talking about Paul was bound, but the Word of God wasn't bound.
Amen.
I mean, it's almost like those two changed positions. I mean, it's almost like Paul was sitting on the throne or sitting in the judgment seat, and Felix was the guilty sinner.
Amen.
Amen. Because the Word of God, as it was going forth. Now, there's a lot of messages, I'm sure, that Paul could have preached here. But he looked at the situation and went ahead and started preaching righteousness. Oh, Lord God. And I can imagine the Apostle Paul saying like this, you've done things in this life to get where you're at, but there's only one way to get to heaven. And you're not going to circumvent the Lamb of God. You're not going to circumvent being born again. He got to talking about the blood and the Son of God and got to preaching righteousness through faith. I mean, through the blood of Christ. He got to preaching to him. And then he got to talking about temperance. And I'll say this, that word temperance, I wrote it down because I won't get it exactly right. He is talking to him about a self-constraint. And there's two ways about that. See, that's where he brought Drusilla in. See, here's the thing. Drusilla, she was a Jewess. She knew what the law of God was. And so she was wise to it. She done what she done out of want. But Felix was different. He wasn't a Jew. And I mean, so now there's a different way to enter into temperance. It's just ignorance. And maybe he's ignorant to what he done. But Paul started saying, he said, there's a judgment to come. And it ain't long till he's a trembling. I mean, I'm talking about the Word of God. It's not bound, thank God.
Amen.
He went in there in shackles, but he wasn't the one trembling. I mean, my God, this Word of God, the Bible said the heavens and the earth will pass away, but this Word shall abide forever. It'll be there when everything else is gone, when the heavens and the earth have fled away. My God, the Word of God will be there. Here they are, and I like this. I mean, I looked at that, and I thought, Lord, that's strange. I mean, most of the time you go into the courtroom, and they're all at ease, and they're all in comfort, and it's somebody else that's coming in that's in the shackles, and they're kind of hoping they get some mercy. I mean, they're nervous about the situation. This is a pretty dire situation for Paul. He could lose his head here. He could be killed. I mean, there's judgment to come, but Paul said, I'm going to go ahead and talk to you about this, Felix. I'm going to tell you some things. I mean, my God, I'm going to lay it down just the way it is. You think I'm the one bound here, but you're the one in shackles. You're the one going to face God. I mean, my God, he's telling them the truth. It ain't long. The Bible said that Felix, he's trembling. Under most situations, that'd be us or Paul trembling. Oh, Lord God. But I got to thinking about this. Say, why wasn't he? Well, he had a testimony. I read it to you this morning. The Bible said he wrote to Timothy over and said the Lord hadn't given us a spirit of fear. You know why you don't have to fear? You've got the Word of God abiding in you, thank God. If you're saved, I mean, they can do things to your flesh, and we don't desire that. I don't desire that. But, I mean, he said, fear not the one that can kill the body. I mean, but fear the one that can kill the body and send the soul to hell. I mean, my God, your soul's saved. There's only a certain limitation of things that they can do. That's why the Apostle Paul, a little bit later, wrote to Timothy, said, I'm not ready to be offered up. I mean, I got this thing fixed up. The Lord fixed it up for me. I met him one day. See, Paul was wise in his preaching here. Boy, he could have drug it out and he could have just, but no, I love what he done. He put him on the stand. I mean, he put Felix up there and said, now, what are you going to do with this? All the accusations have been against me, but the Word of God bears witness against you.
Amen.
See, you can bind me, but you can't stop the Word of God. You can bind me, but now what do you have to say? Felix said, take him out of here. I'll hear him again in a more convenient season. I mean, Lord God, get him out of here. I'm nervous around this man. I'll say this, it wasn't this man, it was the Word of God. He thought he was in charge, but he went in there and found out there's one higher than him. He thought he had the words of authority, but there's one that had more words than him. Lord God, King of kings and Lord of lords, and then give him wisdom and knowing what to say. He went in there, preached righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. Said, you've been up here judging, Paul. I'd say Paul's like a lot of judges we have in these days. Somebody greases their palms and they pass judgment. Don't matter if they're guilty. Don't matter if they're innocent. They just do what everybody else wants them to do. You've done everything to please Caesar. You've done everything to please Rome. You've done everything to please everybody around you. But now, have you pleased the Lord? What are you going to do with him? You've gotten where you're at because of different situations. But now, what are you going to do? The Bible said he trembled. I'd like to hear. I mean, I'm just speculating on some of this. I know what the topic was. I know what the 3-point message that Paul had. But I'd like to hear him expound on it, wouldn't you? I can speculate on some of these things just by. But Lord, I don't know what I'd have done exactly. But I know this: the Word of God put Felix on trial. Hey, and let me, and I wanted to get there and say this tonight, and I'll let you go home in just a few minutes. I remember when it's me on trial. You remember that? I remember when it was me trembling. I remember when the Word of God somehow, some way, was delivered to me, and it wasn't nobody else. It was directly to me. See, I say this often, and I realize it to be true. And we as a church ought to realize it to be true. We come in here to be fed of the Word of God. But sometimes it may not be to you. It may be sometimes God's pointing out one particular person, and he's working on them. And it's his soul that he's fingering around and causing them to tremble. It's them that he's pointing out. And saying, you're the one. You're the one in need here. And I'll say this. This wasn't even a bad thing for Felix. This was an act of mercy. When the Word of God comes in. Anytime you can hear the Word of God, God's here to help you. He's not here to hurt you. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to, Lord God, that's the reason I started out that way. Abel's blood cried out, wanting justice. Amen. But the blood of Christ speaketh better things. It cried out wanting mercy for you. Amen. He wants mercy. Oh, Lord God, I'm so thankful for the mercy of God. I'm glad that he took his own blood and placed it on the mercy seat to obtain mercy for me. And then the Bible said that we could come before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Oh, Lord God. Here I got to looking at this, and I can only imagine it in my mind, and I'm thinking, them fellers changed places. See, it ain't long till Felix finds out that Paul is not the only one bound. When he left there that day, he was bound. He was bound. Because the Word of God showed him who he was. I said this morning, Ephesians chapter 2 said we was dead in sins and in trespasses. Felix, I believe, left out of there feeling like a dead man. Feeling the guilt of sin. Everything you had didn't mean nothing no more. And now, what are you going to do with the Word of God? And that's the thing. What are you going to do with the Word of God? See, Paul was bound. He was beaten. He was stoned. I believe they killed him one time. He ascended to heaven. Come back. The Lord revived him. I believe he's seen some things unlawful to be spoken of. Lord, he couldn't tell it. I'll say this. Lord, if you ever peep into this word, sometimes you'll see some things and you won't even know how to tell it. But Paul went in there with plainness and great speech and said, Felix, can't you imagine that? I'm not the one shackled here today, you are. I'm not the one on trial here today, you are. I'm not the one going to be judged here today, you are. And Felix trembled. You know why he trembled? You can argue against me. And you can argue against someone else, but you can't argue against the Word of God. See, Paul didn't go in there preaching himself. For we preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ crucified. He didn't go in there telling everything he had done or not done. He said, if I'm going to talk to you about somebody else, and you're guilty, Felix, and you're on trial here today, Felix, and there's a judgment to come, what are you going to do when you stand before God? Oh, Lord. I thank God that His Word is not bound. They've down through the halls of time, down through history, they killed the prophets, but never the message. They killed the messenger, but never the message. Couldn't stop it. I talked about it the other night. They killed Isaiah, but never the message. We still preach Isaiah? Yeah, thank God. I mean, they killed Peter, but we still preach out of the book of Peter. They killed Paul, but we still got the 14 books he wrote. Lord, you can kill the messenger, but you can't kill the message. The Word of God's bound, but I mean, he said, I'm bound, but the Word of God's not bound. And when it comes down to the end, this gospel, I read it over in the book of Psalms, will go out into all generations. That's what it said. So as sorry as things are going to get, God's still going to have His Word out there. As hard as things are, there's still going to be a refuge. There's going to be one to turn to. He's already turned to you. Ain't you glad He done that? I was so sick, and I'm done. I was so sick when I was in a legal mess. Hearing that always preach God turn His back on you. And they had me so tore up. But the truth is, He didn't turn His back on you. He turned towards you. He didn't turn from you. He lent you a hand. He didn't turn away from you. He loved you. Thank God. I believe about half of them preaching that other Jesus. The one that only does good for you when you're doing something He's proud of. That ain't how He found me. I wasn't trying to do nothing for Him. I wasn't trying to do anything. But He come to me where I was at, in a mess, dead in trespasses of sin, and saved me by the grace of God. See, Paul was, and that's what's going on in the day and hour we're living in. Trying to bind everything up. But I was encouraged today when I read that the Word of God's not bound. They're never going to accomplish what they want. Never. They're not going to accomplish it. You're never going to shut it down. So how do you know that? Because God always gets the final word. You ever run across somebody like that? You never can say what you need to say and walk off and leave it. They always got to get the final word. Well, God is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He'll warn you from the beginning, plumb up to the end. He preached to him the judgment to come. Thank God. Now I'm going to let you stand to your feet and let you go. I appreciate the Lord. The Lord's joy is good.